So Elmwood Plum City Wolves. From all of us at Rio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Democrats have renewed calls for President Biden to step aside as the nominee. Congressman Adam Schiff, the latest, telling donors privately if Biden stays in, Democrats will lose big. The president campaigning in Nevada. ABC's Selena Wang is in Las Vegas.
The president has been very clear that unless he has shown data that there is no chance he can win, he is staying in this race. There is very little that would get him to change his mind. And sources also tell me that the president is really closing his inner circle, and the number of people that he is taking advice from is just getting smaller by the day.
In Milwaukee, Republicans are working to expand the GOP tent following last night's unity speeches at the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio, will take center stage tonight. Unrelenting heat holding its grip on both coasts and the nation's midsection. Fire crews still battling wildfires in western states and volatile storms on tap for the East Coast. This is ABC News. Emmy nominations are out, and this year it's all about The Bear and Shogun.
You got this, baby.
Yes, Chef.
What The Bear got was an Emmy's record, 23 nominations for the FX show about what it takes to run a high-end restaurant. That's the most nominations ever for a comedy series. 30 Rock had 22 nominations in 2009. But with even more nominations this year, the first-year FX series Shogun.
War is coming.
The Japanese feudal drama scored 25 nominations, and while that's not the most in history for a drama, it is the most for any show this year. The Bear and Shogun are up for Best Comedy and Best Drama, respectively. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Officials in Greece have ordered the closure of the Acropolis for several hours in the middle of the day as the region faces extreme heat. Forecasters say hot air from Africa expected to continue affecting Greece for several more days. The temperature in Athens today expected to top 109 degrees. The heat wave also affecting other parts of southern Europe. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, my son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and a comp book for every subject.
Okay, no problem. With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back-to-school.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Can we get a cart? Please.
Save big on back to school with Staples Hot Deals. Right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each at Staples. Ends 8/24, in-store only, limit 30.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A Milwaukee man was shot and killed by out-of-town police Tuesday afternoon. The shooting happened just a mile from the Fiserv Forum where the Republican National Convention's going on. Milwaukee police say officers from Columbus, Ohio, spotted a man identified as 43-year-old Samuel Sharp, armed with two knives in a fight with an unarmed man. When Sharp didn't respond to orders to drop the knives, five Columbus officers opened fire on Sharp, killing him. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says the officers were assigned to that area because it was identified as connected to the RNC.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life today.
The officers involved in the shooting are cooperating with the Milwaukee Area Investigative Team as they look into the incident. A Wisconsin lawmaker accuses a protester of assaulting him during the RNC. Wisconsin 3rd District Congressman Derek Van Orden said in a post on X that a member of the anti-war protest group Code Pink attacked him outside Milwaukee's Pfister Hotel. Code Pink countered with a post on X saying an organizer was unjustly arrested at the RNC after a congressman shoved past her. Milwaukee police reported a 24-year-old woman battered an unidentified victim outside of the hotel late Tuesday morning. The woman was taken into custody while police say the victim suffered minor injuries. A suspicious-looking man with a concealed weapon was arrested Monday near the convention. Milwaukee police say U.S. Capitol Police spotted a 21-year-old man wearing a ski mask and a large tactical backpack on the opening day of the RNC. They stopped the man and found a firearm in his backpack. Officials say the suspect had no legal concealed carry permit for Wisconsin or any other state. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You're invited to the 156th Annual Wabasha County Fair this Wednesday through Saturday at the fairgrounds in Wabasha. Wednesday night, it's the big autocross starting at 7 o'clock. Bull riding comes to the Wabasha County Fair again Friday night at 7 o'clock. And it's another autocross and demo derby Saturday night at 5 at the Wabasha County Fair. Food, fun, and farm animals at the 156th Wabasha County Fair this Wednesday through Saturday in Wabasha.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We're entering a dry and sunny stretch. However, high temperatures today staying well below average with some breezy winds out of the northwest, keeping our highs down to the low 70s. It'll be a crisp and comfortable day today with highs tomorrow climbing to the upper 70s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Valiant effort this morning to move to the upside, but early gains are already starting to slip in corn and beans. We will definitely keep an eye on that throughout the show. This morning, we're talking land, and then it's our Farmer Forum. Live from a Molasses Cookie Wednesday via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Doug Hensley, the president of Hertz Real Estate Services. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Quint Pottinger and Scott Berger. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm your outstanding guest host for the morning, handsome newsman Davis Michelson behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Wednesday morning, everybody. I am your pal, Davis Michelson, and, you know, the siren song of the open road, it's lured Chip away from us again. The scent of hot concrete, diesel fumes, just too enticing to ignore, and so, like so many before him, seduced by the siren song of travel, our beloved host is on the road. He'll be back tomorrow, don't worry. And actually, we've got Ted Seifried, the pride of Water Street, on this afternoon. It's going to be a very exciting day. We've got the Farmer Forum this morning. We need to check in with land. Doug Hensley has been a phenomenal resource for us here on AgriTalk. And a landowner for me as well, personally. Personally? Professionally? I don't know. We like Doug Hensley. Smart dude. We're going to talk to him about what he's seeing now in the land market and what he expects heading down the road. He has been focused on the amount of cash held by farmers and potential land buyers, I guess more specifically. He's been keeping an eye on the equity that's out there in the land right now and what is being done with that equity. I can't wait to get an update from him. It's been far too long since we've spoken with him. And then we've got some of my favorites, Quint Pottinger and Scotty Possible. Scott Berger will join us for the Farmer Forum, that in the last half of the show. So if if we're looking at these markets, it looked like corn and beans kind of wanted to follow wheat to the upside this morning earlier. But currently I've got the Dees corn at 410.5. It's only up 1.75. The sept is only up 3/4 now at 396.5. Looking over at the soybeans, August up 5.25. Novi down 3/4. And from the Nov on, we're just fractionally lower now. All of a sudden we flipped to the negative side, but the wheats are still up double digits. Interesting there. Livestock's mixed. Fat cattle sort of higher in the nearbys, and then feeder cattle lower across the board. Lean hogs. I've got some news on lean hogs that has the market moving higher this morning. That's some good news for all of us. Margie Echo Camp is coming up next. So why don't we go ahead and get started with the National Weather Service outlook, where extremely dangerous heat will continue across the East Coast and much of the South Central United States today. Record high temperatures are expected for some areas, specifically across the Mid-Atlantic, where extreme heat risk conditions reside. There is a slight risk, a level 2 of 5, a slight risk of severe thunderstorms today for the northern Mid-Atlantic into portions of southern New England. We, earlier this week, talked to the gang over at BAMWX, and they said, yeah, by the end of the week, we might be all right. Should be a pretty good weekend. Some storms had to come through. You know, when you get that hot air meeting incoming cold air, it can get a little bit spicy. And we've seen that. Still some more of that to get through over in New England. And it's going to remain hot here in the South Central U.S. at least for today, it looks like. All three major stock indices registered gains on Tuesday in the wake of retail sales figures. Not only did the Dow hit an all-time high and a fresh record close, but it also saw its best session since June 2023. The pork cutout rose $2.58 to $100.87 on Tuesday, fueled by a jump in primal ham prices. That's the first time the cutout topped $100 since June 14. The result here, let's look out at the Dees hogs, up $1.05 currently at 10:10 Central Time, 65.17.5. Go all the way out to the April, we're at 74. There's a bit of a dip there in the middle, a bit of a chasm, you might say, in the Feb and the Dees hog contracts, but green across the board on the hogs so far this morning. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson and Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman are actively advocating for a new farm bill. However, they anticipate the necessity of another extension of the 2018 farm bill to allow more time for the completion of a new package. Bozeman expressed at the Republican National Convention that an extension would be beneficial for farmers. The American Farm Bureau Federation says that while recent guidelines on how U.S.-grown grains and oilseeds can qualify as a potential sustainable aviation fuel feedstocks is a step in the right direction, the timing and stringent requirements pose challenges for farmers. Many relevant decisions were made before the rules were announced, and the paperwork requirements are extensive. President Donald Trump's pick for his running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, defends Trump's plans for sweeping tariffs and a deportation of undocumented immigrants. A leading farm state senator disagrees with at least one of those. Vance has defended Trump's plans for tariffs as high as 10%, renewing concerns and memories in farm country of losses from Trump's China tariffs. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley disagrees with Trump and Vance, but cautions this.
There's a movement in both political parties for this sort of protectionism. I think for agriculture it's bad, but it's just an honest disagreement that we have over policy.
Protectionism, that might be a word that I lay before our Farmer Forum panel today, protectionism, and just see what comes of that. In the meantime, we've got Margie Echokamp from The Scoop. Good morning, Margie. How are you?
Hey, Davis. Good morning.
Great to talk with you. What do you want to talk about?
Yes. So I want to bring forth the August 1st deadline for our Scoop Business Innovation Award. So this is a way to put a spotlight on ag retailers who have really demonstrated a digital transformation in their business. This also really highlights a trend that we've seen over the last 6 to 8 years as retailers have tried to do more and reach out in new and different ways to help with their customers' businesses. Now, it's the third year we've done the Business Innovation Award. Every year, it's been sponsored by our friends at EverAg, so appreciative of their support. But what I want to highlight, if there's any ag retailers out there who are really proud of how their team has come together to do business differently and better, that this is the award for them. It is the common theme that I have seen in our previous winners, and I know there is a lot of good work being done out there by ag retailers. So if folks want to apply, again, the deadline is August 1st. Just go to thedailyscoop.com. Click on awards and you'll see the application for the Business Innovation Award. The prizes include a trip to go to the ARA Conference and Expo, which will be December 3rd to the 5th in Houston, Texas. So I would encourage everyone to apply.
I can only assume that I am not eligible, right? I keep applying and I hear nothing. Probably not
Davis,
eligible.
You're a man of many talents, but being an ag retailer is not one of them.
You are right. That is absolutely fair. Thank you, Margie Eckelkamp. August 1st is the sign-up deadline. TheDailyScoop.com. Get more. Margie, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Davis.
All right. We are off and running, your pal, Davis Michelson. So pleased that you are here with us. Stick around. I'm going to talk with Doug Hensley next about the land market.
Feel the cow by feeding her rumen first. Zinpro Isoferm is a breakthrough, the essential nutrient your herd needs. Designed to enhance rumen function by directly feeding the fiber-digesting microbes, Zinpro Isoferm enables dairy cows to be better cows, creating game-changing production efficiency, productivity, and profitability. Visit Zinpro.com/Isoferm to learn more. That's Zinpro.com/Isoferm.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grain and eat away at your bottom line. Protecting grain is key to protecting your profits. Thankfully, Gravista D Insecticide, a combination adulticide, synergist, and insect growth regulator, is designed as the ideal on-farm solution to help control these bugs and help you reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain with Gravista D Insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Indeed, we are live right now, good people. Well, unless you're listening later. in which case it only sounds like Memorex. Am I right? Am I right? Davis Michelson here in for Chip Flory. He's traveling today, so I'm hosting this morning's show. Looking forward to it. This afternoon, Ted Seifried from Zanarag Hedge is bringing a guest with him. So we'll turn over the keys of the show to Ted Seifried this afternoon. And then tomorrow morning, we've got Chip Flory live from Parts Unknown. And then after that, everything is going to be pretty much normal for the rest of the week. So with that, let me bring in Doug Hensley, president of Hertz Real Estate Services. Doug, it's been too long since we spoke. It feels like a good time to catch up with you a little bit. How you doing today?
Davis, I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me on. And Chip's pretty brave to leave you in control today, isn't he?
It's a dicey prospect, Doug. Dicey prospect. But
yes, it is.
But yeah. With smart guys like you along for the ride, I can't miss. I absolutely can't miss. My job is easy here.
I
don't really have anything specific necessarily to ask you, Doug. Just that conditions have shifted dramatically on the farm balance sheets. Right. 22, 23 treated us a certain way. 24 isn't being quite so kind so far. I don't know what swirling issue is the most important to the land market, to the farm balance sheet. So I'm just going to open the Hensley Pandora box and see what falls out of that exceptional mind of yours. What are you focusing on?
Yeah, so I would kind of describe what's happened. I think 21 and 22 were kind of twin sisters to each other. 23 gave us a little bit of a preview, I think, for what was to come in 2024. And, you know, last year we saw the interest rate environment shift. The grain market started to shift a year ago. Once we turned the calendar to 2024, that's when things really got not so fun. And if you look at a chart on corn or soybeans, either one, for those of us in the Midwest, you know, 2024 has been pretty ugly. And so we're putting low grain prices for a lot of people where we're at is well below break-even levels. That's not to say that we sold all of our crop from 23 at the levels that we're at. I think that's something that's pretty important to keep in mind. And we're not necessarily going to sell all of our 24 production at levels where we're at. Maybe it'll be more, maybe it'll be less, but I think there's a lot of marketing strategies out there that have people positioned who are paying attention. What I will say is, you know, the land market started to downshift, and I feel like we kind of started to plateau in the second half of 2023. And I largely think that has continued here into the first half of 2024. And everybody says, dang, Doug, this land market should be softening more than what it seems like it is, because we're still going and, you know, we're seeing $14,000 and $16,000 sales. And in June, I know there were a couple of $20,000 sales that still happened, but the reality in the market, as far as I'm seeing, is we're seeing a shift lower in the volume of sales that's happening compared to 2 years ago. So what that means is there's still enough demand in the marketplace to absorb the reduced supply of farms that's available. So I think that's helping prices, you know, kind of defy some people's logic as to this land market should be falling, because profitability this year is going to be poor and interest rates are high. But I think what's happening right now is that farmers and others who are interested in the land market, but predominantly farmers, they're saying, hey, I can hit the pause button on capital expenditures like, you know, upgrading farm equipment or, you know, harvest equipment for this fall. I think I'm going to hit the pause button on that. But when you have a farm that is adjoining you or something that you're interested in come to the market, that only happens once every so often. And so even if you're reluctant to bid or to, you know, take a stab at a farm, I feel like that's what's happening because people are still positioned financially to be able to do so. I think they're just protecting their working capital in a little different way than they were a year ago, and rightfully so. But the reality is you buy the farm when it's convenient, or not convenient. You buy it when it's available, not
when it's for sale. Yeah.
And that's a little bit of what's happening. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's talking about how much grain is out in the countryside.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
In bins and on farm storage, you know, it's a real common conversation that's happening right now. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that the countryside is pretty financially secure right now because they haven't been forced to clean out bins to pay bills. And so I think there's some clues that we can look at just in the, you know, in the reality of what we're seeing in the data. And I think farmers came into this downturn, or, you know, if that's what we're entering, we don't know how short or long it's going to be, but if they came into this downturn, I think we came into it about as financially healthy as we have maybe ever been. And so I think that's what we're seeing play out in the land market. And there's some strata as you think of, you know, the land market. The really good top-end farms are still maintaining their value, probably first and primarily. And as you get into that second and third tier of quality, those are the ones that I think we're starting to see some a little bit of weakness, and it depends on where you're at, Davis. And that stands to reason, you know, a lesser quality farm, people are less willing to stick their neck out for. And, you know, if you have a really high quality farm, people are still going to, you know, they're going to toe up to the line and say, hey, this is something that I think we, from a long-term perspective, we're going to do. We're not going to let the short-term and what we have in the markets right now completely dictate what decisions we make for the long term. And, you know, it will influence people's thinking at any one time, but I don't think it's, it's totally changing decisions yet.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It absolutely did. Well, and it makes me wonder, I'm going to pick on Iowa. I think in previous conversations, we've talked about something like 80% of Iowa farmland being owned outright, not under a loan. Yeah. Is that a correct figure?
It's actually, it's a little higher than that. Back in 2017, the number was 82% of Iowa farmland was owned without a mortgage. And every 5 years, the Iowa legislature mandates that there's a study that Iowa State does on land ownership across the state of Iowa. And the 22 study, which came out about a year ago now, the results from that, it showed that 84% of Iowa farmland is now owned without a mortgage. And so, people have banked a lot of profits for several years, and 2024 doesn't look like a big profit year. And in some cases, it'll be a backwards year, but,
that's my question. We came in here in a healthy
condition.
How long before we begin to see that backwardization, manifest in some real painful ways? I don't feel like we've seen it yet. Have we?
No, I really don't think we have. And if you look back at the charts, Davis, look back the last time that we saw, in this cycle, we went through a high cycle, 2012, 2013, and 2014 was kind of the end of that cycle. And from 2015 through 2020, I mean, we were living in break-even agriculture. Everybody remembers it. You know, we went through the tariff situation, and just the trade war with China and that sort of thing. And profitability was not super great during that period. And in a lot of cases, we outbusheled it. We made a little money, but not, I mean, it was nothing like what we've just come through in 21, 22, and 23. And, during that time, if you look at the land value charts, you're seeing a situation where land values had a little bit of a, I'll call it a leak to them. You know, it wasn't, it was not a dramatic drop in value, but we came out of that previous up cycle in healthy financial condition. We weathered the storm and land values did fall back just a little bit, but it was more of a leak than what we observed in the corn and soybean markets. And I think these long-term capital assets like land, you know, that's kind of that's a holy grail for people in agriculture is they're going to protect their land. And the fact of the matter is that people are really financially healthy who are stepping up to buy farms to begin with. The banks, and any of the lenders that are out there require very responsible decision making for somebody to even qualify for a loan if they were to borrow money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just don't. And with crop insurance and some of these tools that are out there, is there risk? Yes. Is it as great as it was 40 years ago? I just don't think it's even close to that, David.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have, Doug. We're going to have to talk again real soon. This perspective that you laid out here for us, fantastic. Really appreciate you, Doug. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks for having me on, David.
That is Doug Hensley, the president of Hertz Real Estate Services. I'm Davis Michelson. We'll be right back with the Farmer Forum.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMRegenerations.com to learn more.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk back to steady at 1974. September, though, up 5 to 2035. October, up 4 to 2045. And November, up 14 to 2009. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly mixed today. A lot of positioning ahead of the cattle on feed report. There has been some lower boxed beef prices. That's pressuring markets, along with some strength in some of the grain markets. August live cattle up 47 cents to 183.15. August feeder cattle down 60 cents to 258.02. Now, hog markets mostly higher due to strength in pork cutout values from yesterday. Some belief that demand may be on the rise. August lean hogs up 95 cents to 92.22. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat moving mostly higher as U.S. prices are becoming much more competitive on the global market due to lost global production. In fact, U.S. Gulf beans are now 20 cents cheaper than Brazilian beans. There have been rumors China purchasing beans from the Pacific Northwest and also from the Gulf. New crop corn up 1.5 to 4.10 1/4. New crop beans now up 1/4 to 10.43 1/2. Chicago wheat, September up 11.5 to 5.42 1/4. Minneapolis wheat, September now up 15.25 to 5.91. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Oh.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. It's Davis Michelson here. Glad you're here as well. Good morning, everybody. Hope today is turning out well for you. It's Wednesday already, if that helps anyone. And here we are. We've got the Farmer Forum lined up here. A great conversation just took place with Doug Hensley from Hertz. There were some nuggets in there. I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to that again. And just as a reminder, you can do that too. Go to agritalk.com or agweb.com. You'll find us there. It's pretty cool. And with that, let's bring in our Farmer Forum. You know what? Let's start with Quint Pottinger. Quint, you and I have not talked in quite some time. Welcome to AgriTalk. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Do me a favor. Remind our listeners, give us a quick elevator speech about the Pottinger operation. Where are you at? What are you up to?
Yeah, so Affinity Farms, located south of Louisville, about 50 miles right in the heart of bourbon country.
All right.
You know, 10 miles from Maker's Mark, Jim Beam, Heaven Hill. And we grow corn, wheat, and rye for the bourbon distillers.
All right. How are the crops looking?
Well, they were looking pretty pitiful. We got five inches of rain last night, about 30 minutes. So I don't think it's going to take it all up, but they certainly look a little bit better. And the heat has left. We've been under some heat dome for about 45 days, but we've got a 10-day reprieve where we're in the low 80s, which would be very nice.
Man, a 45-day heat dome. That sounds like some Cool Hand Luke stuff there, man, you're enduring.
Yeah, you just get used to it. I feel like I had to put a jacket on this morning when I went outside. So.
Yeah, it's only 85. I need a jacket, right?
Yeah, need a jacket. Yeah, no humidity in 85. Oh,
yeah, fun feels like heaven. Outstanding. Well, stand by, Quint. We'll be right back. I want to bring in Scott Berger. Scott, welcome to AgriTalk. It's great to talk to you again. Last time you were on, you were in the tractor. You were feeling the burn. You were trying to get those last acres planted. And I don't know if you even remember being on the show last time. You did a fantastic job. But I'm wondering if you're maybe perhaps a little more rested, a little more lucid today. How are you feeling today, Scott Berger?
Good morning, guys. I am feeling much better. It's sunny and 74. A full night's rest last night. And doing some crop scouting this morning.
Attaboy. 74, you probably better bring a hooded sweatshirt, yeah?
I've got long sleeves and pants on today, that's for sure.
Long sleeves will do. Well, give us your elevator speech. Where are you at? What's the burger operation look like real quick?
We are a small family operation in East Central Iowa, Miss Row Crops, and we trucking on the side, and I say yes too much, so I am always busy.
All right, well, you're a giver. You know, you give and give and give till it hurts. That's what they say about Scotty Possible. Everybody knows that. Everybody says so.
All right.
Fellas, I want to talk to you. You know what? I'm just going to dive right into this. This is a news story that we didn't get to, and I just wanted to bounce it off of you guys here. Deere & Company has issued a statement on X, formerly Twitter, whatever, that they're changing their policies on diversity, equity, and inclusion. The move aligns with similar actions taken by other companies in the industry. I don't know if you're familiar with the tractor supply kerfuffle, which recently abandoned its DEI objectives and discontinued support for non-business related activities. Basically, what they're saying here is we want to focus, instead of on these social issues, we want to focus on professional development. Quint, I wonder what your thoughts are on the whole diversity, equity, inclusion, because now it seems like there's sort of a move away. It just doesn't make fiscal sense for some companies. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I saw that last night and I kind of chuckled because whenever it all started, I thought to myself, this is a big pendulum swing. And in our operation, what we do here, we believe we have to keep the three pillars of sustainability in balance, whether it's economic or environmental or social. And I think companies for a long time were very focused on that that economic side and the environmental came in, and all of a sudden after COVID, we saw this massive surge in social. And I think they got out of whack. I don't think beer is alone. I think at the end of the day, they realized that they just went a little too far. And while it is important to support the community, exterior, you have to focus on your internal base, your customer base, and your employee base. And it seems like when that came out, that's exactly what it read. Like, hey, we've gone out of the orbit just a bit, and we need to pull it back in. I was happy to see that because from a fiscal standpoint, I mean, ag doesn't look like we're going through a boom anytime soon. So I think a lot of people will be tightening up what they do with those funds.
Yep. Scott, I've heard it said that these are first world problems when people are concerned with what gender they might be or with celebrating, you know, all of this stuff. And all of that's fine. But somewhere in there, it seems like the focus moved away from just running the company properly for a lot of different companies. Do you have any thoughts on this matter?
So I got the pleasure of having a conversation with a dear employee Sunday about this topic, and he shed some wisdom upon me that, you know, here's a company, you can look at the way that they're running their financials and their economics to make money for the guys at the top, the shareholders, you know, the boots on the ground, the blue collar guys. Don't necessarily agree with that. That's the way the company is running. And the amount of diversity that company has inside of its workforce is bigger than I could ever imagine. And I guess at first I was very against it, not understanding exactly the reason behind what they were doing. But to break it down into some the way I took it was, in marketing, we have a choice to do every single day, and the choice to do nothing is still a choice. And the employees that I talk to on a weekly basis from here, if they want to be included in all of that, they can be included in all that, but they're not forcing them to be included in it. So the fact that Deer realized that they might have gone a little too far, and now rather than alienating the minority, they're alienating the majority, I agree with Quint. I'm glad to see that they're bringing it back in and saying, okay, we went too far. We need to have a bit of balance on this because this isn't going to be something that's going to disappear. The generation that's coming up, it's full, full struggle in front of them, and they're going to have to deal with it. And maybe they're going to have to be the parent that says, okay, you can only go that far with this, but then after that, it's no longer accepted.
Yeah. Wow, that's really good. Quint, you talked about the pendulum. And oftentimes, you know, we see the market, sometimes when the market corrects, it goes too far in the other direction and then has to correct from the correction. This is true in the world of human interaction as well, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're constantly, from birth or even in society or civilization, we're sending information out to our environment, getting a response, and then building our next move off that response. And every decision you make is part of that. And seeing this pendulum go out, it's no different than any other pendulum, whether it's social or economic or environmental swing we've had. And I think that the environmental swing is going to be coming back this way too. I really do. I think that we've gotten better at the science on that. So it's no surprise to me. It's just some companies can catch themselves before the pendulum falls off the string, and some can't. Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yep. It sounds like, you know, Scott, when you're talking about balance, from what you're saying and what I'm reading here from Deer, it sounds like they're at least trying to achieve some form of balance. But let's move over to that political pendulum now. Former President Trump has been shot in the head at a campaign event. Yeah, okay, it nicked his ear. But this could have been a whole different conversation if he hadn't have turned his head just a little bit. Scott, do you have any reflections on that moment? I've never seen anything like that. How about you?
So
no, I have no memories of Reagan, and it's amazing to see and hear all the references to that. You know, I caught the show where, my apologies, the politician was on talking about being there and how he feels like it could have been a same type of reflection from 9/11. Personally, out here in Iowa, from the few conversations I've had since this has happened, I don't feel like it's a 9/11 type. And maybe that's because I'm surrounded with the Republican Party more than the other.
Sure.
Is this going to change things political-wise? Absolutely. When some event happens, you're going to build a different bridge to a different place and have different feelings. You know, some people are saying that this is going to create a unity in the Republican Party and we're going to have all of these victories. November will tell a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quick, Quint, maybe if you have some final thoughts on that matter, we're coming up on a break here quick, but I'll let you talk us out.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with Scott. I think it was huge. I don't think that there was a good path forward for Trump. I think the debate was probably the best bump he had. But I think the entire country has changed moods. I think the independent voters have gotten attention, and I think that this is going to be huge for the election.
Yeah, that's Quint Pottinger from out in Kentucky. I've also got Scott Berger, Scotty Possible, from Central Iowa here on this morning's Farmer Forum. I want to talk a little bit about what's the word on the street out in farm country. Are people starting to feel the backwardization financially that Doug Hensley was talking about may arrive somewhere? Is there still cash out on the farm? We'll find out.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair. To the kids sweating in the barn and all those parents standing ringside, let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
The movies. Asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
When you're ready to power up your next adventure, the Nissan Pathfinder Rock Creek has a 3.5-liter V6 engine, 295 horsepower, and 270 pound-foot of torque to get you there. From rocky trails and muddy paths to sandy dunes and snowy roads, wherever you're going, find your path in the Nissan Pathfinder Rock Creek. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
/hotline.
Fuel the cow by feeding her rumen first. Zinpro Isoferm is a breakthrough, the essential nutrient your herd needs. Designed to enhance rumen function by directly feeding the fiber-digesting microbes, Zinpro Isoferm enables dairy cows to be better cows, creating game-changing production efficiency, productivity, and profitability. Visit Zinpro.com/Isoferm to learn more. That's Zinpro.com/Isoferm.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind. Welcome back to AgriTalk. There may not be time for phone calls, but give us a call anyway. It might be fun. Give you something to do. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. I am very pleased that you are listening in to this morning's Farmer Forum. We've got Quint Pottinger and we've got Scott Berger. The question before us now, the on-farm stocks has gotten an awful lot of attention, but an equal amount of attention, I think, has been paid to cash on hand among farmers. Quint, I might lean into you a little bit. Can you talk to me about the correlation between cash on hand and on-farm stocks? Is there anything there at all? Am I just grasping at straws?
I don't know. I've only been farming for 12 years. I started from essentially zero when I came back from college.
Yeah.
I never have cash. Even in the boom times, they say build a war chest. Build a war chest. But here, I will say this. I do believe there is something to this on-farm storage. And I think if this demographic story actually plays out to be true with Chinese demand, it doesn't matter who they buy their beans from. The reality is there may be, 100, 150 million less mouths to feed in that country. And if we export, if our market's export-based, then American farmers have got to start figuring out how to replace that demand. And if holding on to that grain in the interim is the way to do that now, that might be the story. And that may be why we didn't see a big run bull market this summer. Maybe there's just too much. I don't know. We've got certified scales on our farm, so I know exactly what's in the bin. I don't know how many other farmers are able to say, well, this is what's in my bin. What is it? Because I haven't gone across the scale. But I think it's real. I think there's a lot of storage, and I think there's a bigger supply-demand story at play, and I'm not sure how long it's going to run.
Yeah, yeah. Scott, are there farmers walking around in barrels with suspenders on them there in central Iowa?
I had a quick conversation with my
merchandiser this morning, and he said there are farmers that have a large amount of grain out there. Mm-hmm. And if it's going to take those guys to hold it off the market, to help the market, and us younger ones that can do some savvy marketing and not have to sit on it, mm-hmm. and it works, then I guess it works. But yeah, mm-hmm. it was very shocking to hear my merchandiser tell me the amount of bushels that he knows are still on farm storage.
Yeah, yeah. And that does make me a little bit nervous. But Quint, when we talk about export demand, we need to fire up some new trade agreements or something. But the problem is now there's the accusation of, well, maybe we're just being too protectionist. I don't know. I would kind of tend to lean into protectionism just a little bit. And yet you highlighted so well, we have got to have that export activity. I don't know what the balance is between those two.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm a capitalist. I'm a globalist. And I think a lot of my peers may be more protectionist, but if you're in any production ag in the U.S., you have to have a little globalism. You have to understand that market. Maybe Mexico will be it, and they have healthy demographics. But again, this is not going to be solved in the next 2 or 3 years. I was down in Brazil in March, and of course they tell you the narrative, but all farmers across the world are the same. You sit down at the end of the day and you have dinner with them around their dinner table. They're going to talk about what's really concerning them. And China said they were going to go to Brazil and buy all these beans. The U.S. He said they're not buying more beans from us, which may mean that they're just not buying more beans. So, I mean, that's why we started working with these distillers, to try to localize that market. And maybe that's what we have to do to find a little bit extra revenue. And on-farm storage is going to be a big piece of that. We hold grain, we like to say, for 13 months out of the year. We have to get through the start of the next harvest to keep these guys running. It's just a different change, a different mindset. Marketing is different now.
Scott, I know that you're a marketing nerd. You have an impressive whiteboard in your office there. Marketing has changed, hasn't it? What are you doing anything differently marketing wise there? How are your on-farm stocks?
It absolutely has changed. And, you know, Quint brings up a really good point there. If we're going to domesticate our market and use, we need to build that relationship with our end users close by. I mean, I've over the last 4 or 5 years, unfortunately, have gone through different marketers, but building that relationship with your end user is huge. Knowing that if they come to you in a pinch, they're going to give you a little bit better price. And the only way they're going to do that is if they know what's in your possession, you know, how many bushels are in your grain bin. Personally, I don't have any old crop beans left, and you've got the bottom of a bin to clean out for old crop. And this morning I got a push bid to Cedar Rapids for, I think it was cash 3 or 4.35. So there are opportunities out there if you are willing to be savvy and take it and build a relationship. And these end producers are not our enemy. They are our customer, and we need to build a relationship with them so that we can build our marketing with them. If they want you to try something different, you know, maybe try whatever their new product is. If you can, if you can add 50 cents here, 20 cents here, that's what's going to keep a lot of us alive for the next few years in this downturn.
Yeah, yeah. Feels like we're entering just the early stages of got to do what you got to do to get by time. Quint, does that scare you at all?
No, I've been in got to do what you got to do to get by since I started.
Attaboy.
This, I think, will be the first downturn I've had where I've looked at the landscape and said, okay, I don't need more acres, I don't need more equipment, and I don't need more bins. So from a cash standpoint, we can shift it into market development. Customer service is going to be the key. Like what Scott said, you've got to develop that relationship with the end user.
Wow. Great conversations with two young up-and-coming agriculturalists, Quint Pottinger from Kentucky. Mr. Pottinger, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us and for sharing your time. We appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, happy to be on. Thanks.
You bet, Quint Pottinger. And, of course, Scott Berger. Dude, I'm sorry, I won't be here when you're in KC, but We'll have to get together another time. Scott Berger from Central Iowa. We appreciate you, buddy. Be well.
Thank you, sir. We'll catch up again.
Can't wait. Can't wait. All right. Well, thank you, beloved listener, for tuning in to AgriTalk. Ted Seifert will be on later on this afternoon for the afternoon show. So we'll keep you informed. Stick around.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at FBN.com. Or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 16.